and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Aerial support is used in the fight against the rapidly spreading Pacific Palisades fire in Los Angeles. The fire is over 4.5 square miles and 0% contained. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
It's blowtorch conditions. A spark quickly turns into a flame. You've got that wind and you have flames that are, in some cases, turning out fire tornadoes. When we talk about wind gusts, 100-mile-per-hour wind gusts are possible. Think about it this way. That's a Category 2 hurricane barreling down.
30,000 people have been told to evacuate. Some 44 miles east of the Palisades fire, mandatory evacuations have been issued in the Eaton fire in the Altadena area. In Texas, crews have treated roads in cities like Tyler to prevent snow and ice from buildup as winter weather creates driving hazards. Jeff Williford with the Transportation Department.
If you do get out, drive slowly. Make sure there's enough room between you and the other vehicles. If you start to slide, steer in the direction you want to go and lightly hit your brakes. I know it can be a scary situation, but try to keep that in mind. That's why we encourage people to stay in.
Vice President, in a memorial ceremony, that is, after former President Jimmy Carter's casket is placed in the Capitol Rotunda, House Speaker Mike Johnson remembers the 39th president.
President Carter's life, his selfless service, his fight against cancer, and his lasting contributions to his fellow man are all truly remarkable.
Vice President Kamala Harris adding,
a man from Plains, Georgia, who grew up without electricity or running water, and served as the 39th president of the United States of America.
Carter will lie in state in the rotunda until his state funeral on Thursday. Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg says Facebook and Instagram will abandon professional third-party fact-checking. CBS's Kelly O'Grady reports.
Critics warn removing fact-checkers could breed misinformation. The International Fact-Checking Network, one of the third parties used by Meta, tells CBS it's unfortunate that this decision comes in the wake of extreme political pressure. But some are cheering the move, including President-elect Donald Trump.
I think he's directly responding to the threats that you have made to him in the past with these officials.
Yeah, probably.
Meta is opting for a user-generated model like X. Donald Trump Jr. receives a welcome from Trump supporters upon his arrival in Greenland's capital. His message, he says, from his dad, quote, we are going to treat you well. Hours later, President-elect Trump said he would not rule out using military force to take control of Greenland and Panama. This is CBS News.
A riddle brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do, you know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing four of their last five, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding, those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore is getting rave reviews regarding her acceptance speech for her Best Actress Golden Globe. Moore won for her role in the film The Substance. She says the Golden Globe was the first award she had ever won for acting in her 45-year career. The actress says she was at a low point in her career when what she called an absolutely bonkers script came across her desk. She agreed to do the role, and the rest is, as they say, history. The holidays continue for Zendaya and Tom Holland. The couple, who have been dating since 2021, are reported to be engaged, according to TMZ. The couple shared the screen Wolverine in 3 Spider-Man films, but typically do not walk the red carpet together. Holland says he was not with his fiance at the Golden Globes, so she could enjoy her moment. Zendaya was nominated in the Best Actress category for the film Challengers. I think they will each make a great first spouse. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some scattered clouds in the overnight as our lows drop to near 5 above. Light northwest winds. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with afternoon highs in the middle teens. We'll see partly sunny skies Thursday and mid-20s. It's 6 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
One of my New Year's intentions is to play more, and by that I mean more board games. What are your favorites? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
And make your appointment to donate.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, hey, happy Tuesday. A lot going on in the world. Donald Trump is on TV right now doing an extended rant, basically a rally. I mean, it's just bizarre. I'm just astonished that the networks are carrying these things in their entirety when they're so filled with lies. You know, it's just, I had to turn off 2 networks in a row. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about today. America chose wealth over well-being, how billionaires rewrote the American dream in our first hour. Also, lawyer up, buddy. A MAGA attorney is threatening Trump's judge. Judge Mershon tells him to go to hell. Are we now entering the new MAGA bully world where the bullying comes from the federal government down? Also, is Donald Trump going to be able to suppress Jack Smith's report? We'll talk about those things in the first hour of our program. In the second hour of the program, is the entire internet about to become the wild, wild west? Things are changing. Also, dear MAGA workers, you got played. And in the second hour, how Trump plans to get rid of birthright citizenship, what that even means and how it's in our Constitution. What are the exceptions to it? And what does John Eastman and Donald Trump have up their sleeves? They even want to deport the children of immigrants who are U.S. citizens legally. And in our third hour, Jim Stewartson is going to drop by. Is Trump planning a North American empire? What's going on here? Is this hyperbole, or is there actually a plan behind all this stuff? Lots of strange stuff. I want to start out today, though, with my daily take over at HartmanReport.com. America, it's titled America Chose Wealth Over Well-Being, How Billionaires Rewrote the American Dream. And, while other nations offer universal benefits, we double down on having billionaires. Yeah. Yesterday, Congress certified the Electoral Count vote, making a billionaire president again, starting after he's sworn in on January 20th. Yep, we chose a billionaire again, after other billionaires spent billions to convince us to make that choice. So as you're listening to my voice right this moment, billionaires from America and around the world are making a pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago to kiss Donald Trump's ass and hand him, million envelopes with million-dollar checks in them, which represent for most of them, at most, a few minutes or a few hours of income for them or their companies. Meanwhile, our billionaire president is packing his cabinet with billionaires, the most in the history of the world. Something that's being celebrated over on billionaire-owned Fox News and billionaire-owned hate radio networks, as well as the billionaire-owned Washington Post, the billionaire-owned LA Times, and the roughly half of American local newspapers that are owned by billionaire hedge funds. Here's the bottom line. Other developed countries, enjoy benefits like free health care in college, modern mass transit, affordable housing, food, and drugs. They also have inexpensive internet and phone service without companies listening in and selling their information, schools that don't even need to mention school shooters, and streets and parks filled with pedestrians and children instead of tents for the homeless. Additionally, they benefit from renewable electricity that gets cheaper every year while cleaning their environment. So that's what other countries have. Here, we have the world's largest collection of billionaires. Seriously, that's our distinction. And most Americans probably don't realize it, but this was a choice we made in 1980. Now, you know, there's a little history here. We were battered badly in 1973, the tail end of the Nixon administration, when we took Israel's side in the Six-Day War, and the Arab nations punished us by cutting off our oil supplies. This produced an explosion of inflation here in the United States and led to basically an economic crash and threw us into about a 15-year-long period of what was then referred to as stagflation, which was high unemployment combined with high inflation. And Nixon couldn't deal with it, right? His alternate days for the gas pumps, odd even days, depending on your license plate number, just pissed off people. Didn't work. Jerry Ford couldn't handle it. He had his WIP and Inflation Now buttons, the big buttons that said WIN, like we were all supposed to wear them. And yes, we're going to whip inflation. Yeah, that was pathetic. It kind of guaranteed that he'd become a one-term president. And Jimmy Carter made some good progress. He actually got inflation down quite substantially. He also put together the National Solar Bank, which was going to provide 20% of our nation's power by the year 2000, put solar panels on the White House. But Reagan's campaign cut a deal with the Ayatollahs in Iran to hold the hostages, and that was the end of Jimmy Carter's presidency. By the time Reagan became president in 1981, inflation was still a problem. Part of it was an echo of the 1973 oil embargo, but also in 79 when the Iranian Revolution happened, that disrupted oil supplies to the United States and around the world. So there was a second oil shock that produced another problem that, again, hurt Jimmy Carter in 79. So by that time, by 1980, by that election, I mean, we'd had 15 years, basically, 17 years, 18 years, 17 years of stagflation, of inflation and high unemployment and an economy that just didn't seem to be working. And it wasn't the fault of the New Deal. It was because we were so dependent on oil, and there had been these two major oil shocks, the first in 73 with the Arab oil embargo and the second in 79 with the Iranian Revolution. But, you know, along came Reagan. He was a very talented actor. I mean, even more talented than Donald Trump, although Trump has been, you know, NBC spent millions training Donald Trump to perform for the television cameras, and he's made good use of that. But Reagan was even better. And Reagan convinced us that he had the solution to the problem. Now, of course, the solution to the problem was time, right? Just like we're seeing right now. When you have a shock, like the COVID shock, or the Arab oil embargo shock, or the Iranian Revolution oil shock, when you have an economic shock like that, you know, it takes a decade or so to work your way out of it. But Reagan, knowing that, you know, better times would be coming, basically said, oh, we've got the solution. It's these magical things, supply-side economics, the Laffer curve, and trickle-down. And George Herbert Walker Bush called this voodoo economics at first, and then he became, you know, vice president. Suddenly he was a true believer. And, you know, Reagan took office, and I didn't believe him, but a lot of Americans did. And he turned our economy inside out. He massively cut taxes on the country's 13 billionaires. Yes, there were 13 billionaires then. Repeatedly raised taxes on millions of working class people, cut and taxed Social Security, stopped enforcement of our anti-monopoly laws, gutted federal funds for education, killed off two-thirds of the country's unions, and by negotiating the GATT and NAFTA agreements, began the process of offshoring over 60,000 factories, millions of jobs. Now, Reagan never got inflation below 4%, and he tripled the national debt from $800 million to about $2.2 billion. But throwing around a couple trillion dollars in borrowed money made the economy look good, and that's how we got the billionaires, because Reagan, you know, cut taxes so radically. In 1980, you know, the year of the election, the richest man in America was a guy by the name of Daniel Ludwig. He was a shipping tycoon, and he was worth $2 billion. Today, he wouldn't even make the Forbes 500 list. And he lived a low-key life, and like most wealthy men of that era, he did not participate, you know, in any significant way in politics. But Reagan's changes in the tax code, you know, dropping the top income tax rate on multi-million dollar incomes from 74% down to 25% and then raising it up to 28%. That caused an explosion in the number of billionaires. By 1990, there were 99 billionaires in America. Today, there's over 800 of them. That's a 50-fold increase in billionaires in just four decades. And then the billionaires, not content with just being rich, decided to take over our politics. They set up institutions to seize control of the independent judiciary. Five corrupt Republicans on the Supreme Court returned the favor with Citizens United saying, okay, billionaires, you can now buy politicians. And so they went out and bought the entire Republican Party and a good-sized handful of Democrats. They created media empires, think tanks, policy centers. They write their own legislation and hand it off to Republicans who then introduce it. And, you know, they purchased, like I said, the entire RNC. I mean, total spending on federal elections, President, House, and Senate in 1980 was $92 million. It was $103 million in 84. It was $324 million in 1988. Wasn't that quaint? In this last election, we know of $7 billion that was spent, including a quarter billion by Elon Musk just to put Trump in office. And that doesn't count the dark money, which is probably several more billion dollars. And we don't talk about this in our media because our media is owned by billionaires, too. Now, maybe one day America will join the other 37 wealthy OECD countries in offering, you know, to average and low income people nearly free college and health care, removing guns from our streets and our schools, housing the homeless, building modern mass transit. Maybe our middle class will again become socially and economically mobile. We'll rid ourselves of $2 trillion in student debt. Joe Biden tried to do that. Republicans sued to the Supreme Court and stopped him. And maybe someday we'll never again be the only developed country in the world where a half million families lose everything, to have to declare bankruptcy because somebody in the family got sick. But for at least the next 4 years, we have to content ourselves with the proud knowledge that we have more billionaires than any other country in the world. And that they now run our government. The top 1% own 40.5% of our nation's entire wealth. As the Forbes headline says, quote, the three richest Americans hold more wealth than the bottom 50% of the country. Yep, sure enough. We're number one. And for at least the next 4 years, Donald Trump and the Republican Party promise to do everything they can to keep it that way. It's 17 minutes past the hour. Lawyer up, buddy. They're threatening judges now. Trump's buddies are threatening judges. We'll be right back with that. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Helping you win the water cooler wars. I'll be right back with more of the news of the day and your calls. Stay with us.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number because here it comes.
800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. That's 800-961-2480. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
At the Home Depot, it's our business to support yours. Partner with your go-to source for building your business. We can help you streamline your operations by supplying the whole job from start to finish. Any questions? our pro desk is ready to answer the call with supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. Elevate your efficiency and take on more projects with the partner you can trust. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. It's a new year, and it's time to make a difference. Have you been thinking about supporting a cause that really matters? Well, now is the time to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation. FFRF is a leading voice for the separation of church and state. They're standing up for your rights as a non-religious free thinker, whether it's protecting public schools from religious influence, defending freedom of thought, or advocating for science and reason in government. And when you become a member, you're not just joining a cause, you're joining a community. You'll get access to exclusive content like their Free Thought Today newsletter, events with top thinkers and activists, and so much more. Ready to take action? Visit ffrf.us/Hartman with two N's at the end. Or text my name, Hartman, to 511-511 and become a member today. Together, we can make 2025 the year we protect our religious liberties like never before. So go to ffrf.us, ffrf.us/Hartman, or text Hartman to 511-511. Text fees may apply.
We turned our backs on what we need, chased the glitter, fed the greed. From Reagan's rise to Trump's parade, a billionaire kingdom we've remade. Free health care, it's just a dream. While yachts glide down a golden stream, we chose the few, forgot the rest, built this empire of excess. America chose wealth over well-being, blind to the pain its people are seeing. The homeless freeze, the hungry cry, while billionaires build towers in the sky. Oh, America, when will you see this gift?
gilded cage is not the land of the free.
Quarter back, 24 minutes past the hour. Lawyer up, buddy. Mike Davis is a MAGA lawyer. He's one of these Trumpy lawyers. And he was on a right-wing show yesterday, the Benny Johnson show, and just went off on Judge Merchan. He said, I would say this to Juan Merchan, you better lawyer up, because you are also, what you're doing is a very serious federal civil rights felony against 18 U.S.C. 241. He then added, Judge Merchan can also go to hell. Lawyer up, buddy. He went on a rant about that all of the people that had been prosecuted for, you know, trying to kill police officers on January 6th and actually killing four of them, that they should absolutely bring civil lawsuits against these. So he called them Biden prosecutors. And he said they should let these prosecutors get sued in their individual capacities and have to hire their own private lawyers to defend themselves. Why? Because he wants to break them. Right. He said, this could mean the destruction of the people who did this. This could mean financial, political, and personal destruction of the people who did this. I mean, these aren't just idle threats. God willing, they should face severe, and I mean the most severe legal, political, and financial consequences for what they've done. And he adds, it's going to start at noon on January 20th. So we'll see. You know, we'll see where we go. Where, you know, how much retribution Trump and his Justice Department are going to try to engage in. I have a feeling this is going to be very, very grim. Meanwhile, Trump's lawyers have asked Merrick Garland to block Jack Smith's final report. They say it contains discredited accusations. All right. Todd Blanche and John Lauro. By the way, Todd Blanche is going to be the Deputy Attorney General if things work out the way Trump hopes. Trump's lawyers, his two lawyers who defended him, you know, in Judge Merchan's courtroom. And, you know, they called this Jack Smith politically motivated and said this was all an attempt to influence the election. Quack, quack, quack. Smith is putting together a report documenting the crimes that Donald Trump committed, the multiple crimes that he committed. And they do not want this report to be released. They are desperate for this report not to be released. So this one is going through the court system very rapidly. And in all probability, we'll know within a week or so how this one shakes out. So stay tuned. What does Liz Cheney have to say about that? I'll tell you that after the break, and I'll pick up your calls. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's the place where despair is not an option. I'll be right back with your calls and the news of the day.
If you turned 65 recently like me, it's important you find a Medicare Advantage plan that gives you the coverage you're looking for. But finding one can be difficult. The best thing I did, and I suggest you do the same, is call a licensed insurance agent and let them walk you through your Medicare Advantage plan options. There are so many benefits you have access to, so make the call now and let the representatives explain everything to you. Our licensed insurance agents can offer you a variety of Medicare Advantage plans. Plus, the call is free, the information is free, and there's no obligation to enroll. We're here to make it easy for you to select a Medicare Advantage plan that may work for your needs. Finding a Medicare Advantage plan can be easy if you do what I did. Make a quick call right now to learn more. Thank you.
800-253-8126. 800-253-8126. 800-253-8126. That's 800-253-8126.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do.
and you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
800-908-7016. 800-908-7016. 800-908-7016. That's 800-908-7016.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News special report. Two wildfires whipped up by extreme winds are sweeping through the Los Angeles area, the Palisades and Eaton fires. Homes have burned and tens of thousands of people are under evacuation orders. CBS News Los Angeles's Laurie Perez is there.
Embers can go for miles, and they don't have to go to miles here in Malibu and Pacific Palisades to catch other beautiful homes and structures and schools on fire.
Correspondent Jonathan Migliotti on some of the small winding roads in the hills of L.A.
When it's dark, it's very easy to get confused. The roads here, very narrow, posing a threat to fire crews and obviously to those trying to evacuate as well.
A mandatory evacuation order for the Palisades fire has just expanded to include an area of Brentwood. It has scorched nearly 3,000 acres. The blaze began shortly after the start of a Santa Ana windstorm that the National Weather Service warned could be the strongest to hit Southern California in more than a decade. CBS News Special Report. I'm Matt Piper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Golden Globes kicked off awards season Sunday night. It was good news for the entertainment world as ratings were up across the board, including broadcast TV, social media, and streaming, despite the fact that the Globes were up against Sunday Night Football. Network TV reported that ratings were up 50% from the broadcast in 2023. The ceremony also produced 40 million social media impressions, which were more than the 2024 Oscars and Grammys had combined. Streaming ratings were up 9%. Post Malone performed with Beyonce during the NFL halftime show on Christmas Day in Houston. The night before, he was hanging at a bar called the Rail Yard with Shibuzi. That was a fun sentence to say. Malone met bartender Renee Brown, a single mom upset that she was working Christmas Eve for the first time instead of home making cookies and watching Christmas movies with her 9-year-old daughter. Her night picked up when Malone left her a $20,000 tip. Being more than 15% is so gauche. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do. You know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing four of their last five, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding. Those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some scattered clouds in the overnight as our lows drop to near 5 above. Light northwest winds. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with afternoon highs in the middle teens. We'll see partly sunny skies Thursday and mid-20s. Currently 8 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, still concerned about the high price of groceries. We'll talk about Trump tariffs with Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. That's all on the way. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
American public to see about volume one is about Donald Trump stealing classified documents from the White House, taking them down to Mar-a-Lago and making them available to Chinese and Russian spies. Volume two, allegedly. And volume two is about Donald Trump's alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election. And Judge Eileen Cannon has just issued a ruling. She's a federal judge down in Florida, blocking the release, preventing any, quote, releasing, sharing, or transmitting any part of that, any drafts of that, or any conclusions from it. Smith's office, Jack Smith's office, also today, also this morning, told the court, this would be Eileen Cannon's court, that Judge Garland, that Attorney General Merrick Garland, might not make this report available to the public anyway. So, Trump's lawyers, by the way, have read this draft report. The Justice Department regulations require special prosecutors to come up with a report. Remember the Ken Starr report? That, you know, it read like a porn novel, you know, all about, what Clinton was doing with Monica Lewinsky and, you know, in the copy machine room next to the Oval Office. Well, apparently, a similar report about Trump is not going to come out. By the way, Tanya Chutkan, who oversaw the federal election interference case, which was ongoing until Trump won the election, then she dismissed it, saying that, you know, this can't go forward. Because he's president now, or he will be shortly. She disagrees with Eileen Cannon. But I'm telling you, Eileen Cannon, if Trump has an opportunity to put somebody on the Supreme Court, she's probably at the top of that list. I don't think she was smart enough to become attorney general. He's looking for a pit bull, you know, there. Somebody who will go after Democrats and things. And I think she's just a useful idiot type. But there you go. Meanwhile, Liz Cheney says that, you know, this effort to suppress Jack Smith's two-volume report, this is what she wrote on Elon Musk's, Nazi-infested social media site. She wrote, "Trump is trying yet again to hide evidence and suppress the truth. The Justice Department has obtained testimony and evidence from dozens of Trump's former advisors and Vice President Pence, showing the danger that Trump poses. Now Trump is already doing what despots do. He is trying to conceal the truth and threatening to jail those who investigated him. The congressional report yesterday destroying Loudermilk's fraudulent allegations shows the despicable malice behind Trump's efforts." She went on to say, "Attorney General Garland now has a duty to release the Justice Department report and prevent its evidence from being destroyed. The truth must prevail. The framers of our Constitution knew the lessons of history, that people led by men without character can quickly lose their freedom." Yeah, you tell them, Liz. So, what's on your mind today? Tim in Aloha, Oregon. Hey, Tim, what's up?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. We've talked many times. Did you have a good Christmas and New Year, I hope?
We did, yeah. We had a marvelous Christmas with our family, and then the next day we went to Australia and spent a week and a half with a dear old friend, Dr. Richard Silberstein, who's been on this program. Silberstein, excuse me. Nice.
It's good because we look forward to a quiet Christmas and New Year's, anticipating what's going to happen on January 20th, what I mean? It's scary stuff. But, you know, Trump's giving his little spiel from Mar-a-Lago right now, and virtually everything that's coming out of his mouth is an outright lie, of course.
Yeah.
And you know what's really ironic? What's going on is he keeps trashing the Biden administration, who are literally trying to make a decent transition. What the Democrats have to do on a national, local, and level and everything is avoid having anybody of any authority go to his inauguration. You see what I mean? That's scary stuff.
Yeah, I don't. I suppose I'll probably listen to his speech because it's my business and I have to. But if I was,
you're obligated to do that because of what you do. I understand that.
If I was any average American, though, I as it is, I'll probably have to pull out one of the old airline barf bags.
And you know, think about how ridiculous that is. You get that Jim Crow generational stupidity in the South. You know, my parents were born in the, grew up in the Midwest in basically little all white towns. My dad was career Army and was stationed in the South. I have a brother born in Texas, so I know the area down there. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, what's transitioned over the last 100 years is going to stay in place with those people. That, you know, it works on emotion and not logic. You know, if you're born and grew up in the South and you vote, you're registered Republican, you voted for Trump and you watch Fox News, that about summarizes the whole situation. That's not going to change. You know?
You're right.
It's as
as
that.
You're right.
Right.
We'll see how, as the old, I don't know if it's really an old Chinese curse or if that's just an old, apocryphal saying. But we live in interesting times. So here we are. Tim, thanks for the call. Always nice to hear from you. Appreciate it. Denise in Calumet, Michigan, speaking to the Midwest. Hey, Denise, what's up?
Hi. Nice to talk to you, Tom. I was watching Rachel Maddow last night, and she talked about how the Pope has assigned a new archbishop for Washington, D.C., who was very vocal and very much against the deportation of immigrants.
Right. He's very progressive.
And my reaction to that was visceral in that all these Catholics, and I am a Democratic person, and I'm also Catholic.
Mm.
And it's really hard looking at what they did for all these years, praying and praying over one issue and voting for this man, and then now it's suddenly the immigrants. Why weren't they thinking about them this whole time? You know, it's just hypocritical to me. It's disheartening.
Yeah. Well, the Pope also, by the way, put a nun in charge of a whole bunch of priests, a region. You know, they have these regional things, this is the first time that a woman has been elevated to that level of power in the Catholic Church. I think, I'm very impressed by this Pope. I met Pope John Paul II. Louise and I had a private audience with him, but I've never met this Pope, but I have Pope Francis, but I have so much respect for him.
Yeah. I know that he talked shortly before the election with a bend. His talk was to not vote for Trump. And
it was kind of the implication of it.
Yes. And, you know, I love this Pope. It's just the people within the church proper who, every week got together to pray the rosary about the one issue of abortion.
Yeah.
You know, and they look at you if you're not, if you're a Democrat, like you're too liberal for us, so fine, but I'm not going to give up on my faith, and I'm not giving up on the teachings of Jesus and the Beatitudes.
There you go. Yep. Ditto. Denise, thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to hear from you. Okay. Claire in Chicago. Hey, Claire, what's up?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Just fine, Claire.
Hi. I was calling regarding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you just said something about that Congress never made it into a law. But I just emailed you an article from two constitutional lawyers. The article is very in depth, and I thought, he put something in there. I don't know if you covered it, but in the article, I'll just read you that one little tiny portion of it. It just says that the Insurrection Act. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay, he said that the Act specifies two grounds for objection to an electoral vote, and that specific legislation already exists from the Electoral Count Act, first enacted in 1887, later amended and restated. But I did contact him to contact you because his article was published in The Hill, Newsweek.
I read it a couple of days ago, that's all well and good, but that the Supreme Court disagrees, and the Supreme Court has final say. I mean, I agree with the legal arguments that the Supreme Court ruled wrong, I agree with the legal arguments that they're actually, you know, the Section 3 arguably has been put into law, you know, with multiple pieces of legislation. None of them explicitly point to Section 3. That's part of the problem. But I also agree with the argument that Judge Luttig and others have made that Section 3 is actually self-executing. It doesn't require congressional legislation, as is the case with most of the rest of the Constitution. But my opinion doesn't matter in a court of law. My opinion doesn't matter when it comes to swearing in a president. The opinion of, you know, the majority of the justices on the Supreme Court is the opinion that matters, and they've ruled.
Well, the thing is this, Congress had the legal constitutional right to put up an objection, and they didn't. And when
Correct.
Kamala Harris said, you know, that she honors her her oath of office to follow the rule of law, I'm thinking, don't you honor your oath to, you know, enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment? I mean, you could have put up an objection. You could have tried. I mean,
she could have. It would have failed.
Cowards.
It would have failed because, you know, the Republicans now control both the House and Senate. There's no way it would have succeeded. And what it would have done is given more credibility to Republican obstructionism and Republican, you know, efforts to just basically sabotage our government at every turn. And I think that that was her concern. I understand,
I know.
I would like to see Democrats fight harder. I'd like to see Democrats speaking out more loudly. I would have liked to have seen Kamala Harris fighting harder. But I also understand that, you know, she didn't want to engage in a futile effort that would backfire.
I think it made the Democrats look like cowards to our allies across the globe. It's sickening to me.
Well, they believe that it made the Democrats look like people who honor the rule of law. So, what can you say? Claire, thank you for the call.
To Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the place where smart people get their news. I'll be right back with your calls right after this.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
The county just requested more electric charging stations.
Orders have really amped up at Able Electric.
We need 3 more at First in Maine, and we just got another hotel chain.
It's no shock. Able Electric needs Able Electricians.
The grocery store wants charging stations, too.
And fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Have you listened to Community Stories yet? The show that features voices from right here in our community? Well, for
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Everyone gets busy at the holidays, and it's so wonderful having ShipStation here to help us take the chaos out of shipping and make it a smooth process. Plus, ShipStation can save you hours of work, and that means you can focus on other parts of your business. You never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again with ShipStation. It's super easy to automate shipping tasks and manage orders all on one simple dashboard. It's the fastest, most affordable way to ship products to your customers, with discounts up to 88% off UPS, DHL, Express, and U.S. Postal Service rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates. What are you waiting for? 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation. Plus, 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Calm the chaos of order fulfillment with the shipping software that delivers. Switch to ShipStation today. Go to ShipStation.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, and you can sign up for a free trial. That's ShipStation.com, and the code to get your free trial is TOM, T-H-O-M, ShipStation.com. Welcome back. 51 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here. Hills in Santa Barbara, California. Hey, Hills, what's on your mind today? Thanks for listening to KFBK.
Good morning. Tom, my question is, moving forward, super talented Hakeem Jeffries, can he use somewhat of Mitch McConnell's playbook to try to thwart the most damaging parts of the new administration's agenda, including Supreme Court appointments?
We'll see. First of all, no. The simple answer to your question is no, because the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court appointments are cleared by the Senate, not the House. And so that's Chuck Schumer, not Hakeem Jeffries. Also, the House does not have the filibuster. That's in the Senate. John Thune, who is the incoming Republican leader, not just incoming, he was sworn in on January 3rd. So he's now the Senate majority leader, replacing Mitch McConnell. He has said that he's going to keep the filibuster in place, which is interesting because I was predicting that they would blow up the filibuster. But, you know, you can always carve ad hoc holes into it, as Chuck Schumer tried to do to pass the For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act when we got stabbed in the back by Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. But we'll see. I mean, you know, whether Chuck Schumer will be able to block the most toxic parts of the Trump agenda in the Senate using the filibuster, whether John Thune is going to let him do that or not, it's going to be real interesting. But I think that, you know, of all the people in the Senate who could have ended up Senate leader, John Thune is probably one of the more rational. I would have hated to have seen it, you know, become somebody like, you know, Ted Cruz or Lindsey Graham or, you know, one of these, you know, publicity hungry whack jobs, you know, or even somebody like Mike Lee or Rand Paul, who are just, you know, all full out ideologues. John Thune is a little more pragmatic. I think that there may be a little bit of balance in the Senate, but we'll see. I'm just, you know, maybe it's my eternal optimism. Hills, thanks for the call. Ken in La Center, Washington. Hey, Ken, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, you mentioned the gas crisis earlier.
Yeah, back in 73 and 79. Yeah.
Yeah, in 73, I don't think young people can even imagine what it was like to lines every other day.
We also had grocery stores that were running out of food because the trucks couldn't run because they couldn't get fuel.
Yeah.
And then there was the trucking strike on top of that, as I recall.
I also wanted to talk about the time we were driving these huge cars that weighed over 2 tons. And the Japanese, they had a post-war economy that was just starting to take off. And they invited an economist to come talk to him. I think it was Alan Deming, maybe.
Deming was the guy who went over to Japan and taught them just-in-time manufacturing practices and then brought that back to the United States, saying that it was the Japanese innovation. Yes.
Right, and taught them to grab market share and how important that was.
Right.
So here in the U.S., the three car manufacturers were, they were
caught flat-footed by this, you know, and then that's when Toyota and Honda really started to make inroads in the American market. It was in 75, 76, 77. Because the big automakers figured any day now the gas spigot is going to open back up, and it literally never did.
Right, so...
We never again had 25 cent a gallon gasoline like we did in 72.
Yeah, well, they were screaming for tariffs on Japanese cars that were small and fuel efficient.
Yep.
And they finally got the tariffs. So what did they do? They didn't...
They didn't start making small cars.
About market share.
Yep.
They raised their prices.
Yep. You're right.
The U.S. cars.
Yeah, the big three really, they were acting like monopolists. And, I was very proud of the fact that for the first 30 years of my life, or maybe 28 years of my life, I had never paid more than $35 for a car. And I remember in the 70s, I bought a used Toyota. You know, I was just a couple of years old, but it was in pretty bad shape. But it would constantly get keyed in parking lots and things because, you know, I was living in Michigan and people just hated the Toyotas. But it was a little car and it got great gas mileage. So anyhow, Ken, thanks for the walk down memory lane. Appreciate the call. We'll continue our conversation. Is the entire internet going to become the wild, wild west? And dear MAGA voters, you got played. How are you going to deal with this one? Also, Trump wants to get rid of birthright citizenship. We got a lot to talk about in the next hour. Stay with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we've shared these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.